Man, if you would in your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Something a little different tonight. We're going to, many ways to study your Bible. One of the ways which we learned a lot from Brother Stewart is to study certain words in the Bible. We've studied before the word lamb. We've studied the word son. We've studied many of these words. And tonight we'll study the word, not all of them, but some of the word firsts. The firsts in the Bible. First in the Bible. Again, as it relates to time, and not like first, second, and third. So we're going to study first in the Bible, the word first. All right? And let's look at this. Mark chapter 12, look with me in verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your love. We pray that this would be a blessing. Encourage those who've been out tonight, who are faithful to be here on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about the first in the Bible, we think about various verses. There are many of them. Also turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I even mentioned this one Sunday night. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Our first consideration in life should be to the Lord. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, then we're to put Christ, we're to put God first in our life. In everything. In everything. Whether it's our stuff or whether it's our time and our talent, we should put God first in our life. And of course, I said this Wednesday night, or Sunday night, but it amazes me, it still amazes me as a preacher, and I've been in the ministry now 22 years. It still amazes me that Christians won't be faithful to church. I don't get that. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And He's commanded us to, in Hebrews chapter 10, to be faithful to the house of God. And when people aren't faithful to the house of God, it bothers me. It bothers me, and it ought to bother you. But they're not here, so that's why we don't talk about them a lot. And there's some sick tonight. There's some that have to work, and God, that's between them and the Lord. But there's some tonight sitting in front of the TV that shouldn't have been here, And they should be faithful to the house of God. Put God first. There are some who put other things, many things, in front of the house of God. Some tonight have put friends in front of God. Right? One of my soapboxes, some have put sports in front of God. And they can get out and play baseball, soccer, football, everything else on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night, but not be in the house of God. I want to say something. I haven't said this in a while. I want to remind you that the principle is in the Bible, but it's also just a practical principle that most of the time our children will do just a little less than what we do. They really will. So if you are not faithful to the house of God and you allow other things to get in the way, whatever you do, your kids will do more of that. In fact, they'll go beyond that. That's normal. There's exceptions to the rules, but normally that's the way it works. And so remember that as young parents, as you're raising your kids, that what you do, most of the time, your kids will probably do a little less. Now, you pray hard and you work at it and you train up a child the way it should go. And I believe if you'll do what's right, your kids will do the same. But you got to do the same. You got to do the same. And so remember that. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And whether it's ambition or whether it's pleasure or fun or whatever it is, God should be first in our life. Well, that's such a simple principle, but such a big one. It really is. Do you put God first? Is He first place in your life tonight? Is He first place with your children tonight? With your grandkids? In every area of life, is He first place? We see all across America today that's not the truth. Most Christians do not put God first. Second first in the Bible we see, that is found in Mark that we read a moment ago, that the first commandment there, it says, "That and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And there is none other commandment greater than these. So I think the first two points go hand in hand. that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That He should be first place in our life, in every area, that He is first. For instance, we've been studying the book of Philippians on Sunday night. How are we to experience joy? So the theme of the book of Philippians is joy, but joy that's produced by selflessness. And what we're saying is selflessness is what produces joy. And if you really get down to the bare bones of it, it's being like Jesus that produces joy. It's following in Jesus' steps. It's Jesus first, others second, and you last. That's joy. That was everybody got that one? You write that down. I didn't come up with that one. But Jesus first, others second, and you, I'm last. And as long as we keep that proper, in proper order, we will experience joy. We will experience joy. And as parents, we put our kids first. As a husband, I put my wife first. As a Christian, I put Jesus first. And He always comes first. And then I take care of the needs of others, and then I take care of myself. Listen, it is not looking out for number one that fulfills our life. It's looking out for others. I see it all the time. People saying, well, I just need to look out for myself. No. Look out for others, and God will look out for you. That's what we're saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and guess what? God will take care of the other stuff. God will make sure you have what you need. And Philippians, as we get down to the end, we're going to find out, Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for me, who will naturally care for you, but all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Take care of others. And then who will take care of me? But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. By the way, He's a lot richer than anyone else. He's got a lot more to hand out, a lot more to dish out than we could ever think. Or ever hope to. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage myself. Remember. Joy is found in doing for someone else. Joy is found in putting Jesus first. And we should put God first in our lives and everything. And then put others around us first before ourselves. That's totally contrary to what the world teaches us. But it's what will be fulfilling in your life. I promise you that. 1 John says, verse 19, we love Him because He what? You can quote that. He first loved us. We love God because He first loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you, before you ever realized you loved God, God loved you. He loved us first. He came to us. He came to me. When I was bound in sin, He came to me. Listen, when I had no hope within, He came to me. I'm glad He came and humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Amen? Man, what a mighty God we serve. What a loving, passionate God. The God who made all things loves us. The God who made all things loved us first before we ever loved Him. He loved us first. While we were still in our sins. By the way, while we are still sinners, He loves us. He has grace on us. Romans 5:8 said He sent His only begotten Son. But God commendeth, or God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, listen, Christ died for us. God loved us so much, He sent His Son. To take our judgment, to take the wrath, for us. What a loving Savior. What a loving God. We love Him because He first loved us. Number four, talking about first in Acts 20, verse 7. If you want to turn over there. Acts 20, verse 7. And by the way, I've never preached on the man who fell out the window. Well, I want to do that at some point. But Acts 20, verse 7, I just want to see this one verse with you. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That's what we'll do tonight. I'll just keep on preaching. We'll preach till midnight. I was talking to a missionary We're talking about the missionaries in the Philippines. And several of those missionaries in the Philippines, when Americans come over there, American preachers come over there to preach for them. The American preacher will get up and preach for 30 minutes, and the Filipinos will say, "Is that all?" Because some of them have walked 6 miles to get there. And they don't want a 30-minute message. They're used to 2 hours and 3 hours. But that's not the point of my point tonight. So the point is that they came on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week. And we see this principle throughout the New Testament. The Bible says that on the first day of the week, let every man lay aside what God has prospered him. And we know the church that Christ established met on the first day of the week. No longer Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law. In doing so, the civil law and the ceremonial law, those things were set aside. Now, the moral law was before the law. Everybody with me? The moral law has always been there. Moral law has always been there. It was there in the Garden of Eden when He said, you can't partake of the fruit. Moral law. But the civil and the ceremonial law were laid aside when Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it and therefore laid it aside. He didn't come to do away with the law. Speaking of the commandments, the Ten Commandments and those things, the moral law is still intact and so forth. But He came to fulfill the law, and He fulfilled it. And this law of the Sabbath was done away with. Saturday. That's when the Jews met. That's when they still meet. The Sabbath, which is Saturday. We meet on Sunday. Why? Because that's when the early Christians met. Here we see Him preaching on the first day of the week. We see in 1 Corinthians where He says, lay aside on the first day of the week that which God has prospered you. He said, preacher, why are you belaboring the point? I get this question more than you think. Preacher, why do we meet on Sunday rather than Saturday? We meet on Sunday because that's what Christ established while He was here. It's what He established after the church established after His resurrection, because we're supposed to be celebrating His resurrection every Sunday. They came to the tomb on the first day of the week, and He was gone. He'd risen from the dead. And that's why we say on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, I say it every year as far as I can remember. Listen, this is a special time set aside to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we as Christians are to celebrate it every Sunday on the first day of the week. And so that pattern was established and set aside for us. The first day of the week has been set aside as our time to come and worship. And in a sense, it is our Sabbath, in that it should be a time that is sacred and time set aside to come to the house of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God and hear the singing and worship the Lord together, right? And it used to be a day that you didn't work. And so there was a day when, anyway, that's another whole point. But we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. And I'm preaching to the choir, so I'll head to the next point. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 says, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. First in Antioch. Believers were first called Christians there at the church of Antioch. And why were they called Christians? Because they were followers of Christ. Why are we called Christians today? Because we are followers of Christ. And I tell you, whether you're a young person here, you children here today, this evening, other kids at school ought to know you as a Christian. If you at your workplace, people should know you. Hey, that's the Christian. That's the one who goes to church on Sunday. That's the one who doesn't cuss and chew and go with girls that do. You know, that's the person that's a little different at work, right? That's the way it should be. That way, that's the way it ought to be. And so we think about that. Called Christians first of Antioch because they were mimicking Christ. So we should follow in His steps. Religion, Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. And even though Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and we should keep His commandments. But Christianity is a relationship. God desires a relationship with us. He desires a relationship with you. And the greatest way you can establish that relationship, and the greatest way you can show your love for Him, is just to follow in His steps. It's not about do's and don'ts per se, though we could lay those down, but it's more about following Him. It is about, I know that saying got very popular and it still is, what would Jesus do? But it's exactly true. Would Jesus go there? Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus listen to what I'm listening to? Would Jesus view with His eyes what I'm viewing in the one-eyed monster I'm watching that has pictures running through it? Would Jesus, you know, show up at that movie? Would Jesus, you know, walk into this place? Or whatever the case is, would Jesus say what I'm saying? That's how you gauge whether or not you should do or not do something. You know, would Jesus show up for visitation? Would Jesus show up on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Would Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus wear what I'm wearing? Ooh, I touched on that Sunday night. Jesus, what would He do? Worship. Believers were called first at Antioch. All right? Moving right along. Firsts in the Bible. Revelation 2:4 speaks about Jesus. Look there. Y'all remember this verse too. Most of these are familiar. Look at Revelation 2:4. It says, under the angel, look at verse 1. Under the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and haste not, and hast not fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy what? First love. If you go and you read the epistle to the church at Ephesus by the Apostle Paul, we've studied that book here several years ago, and I think Romans is probably the greatest epistle or book that Paul wrote, but man, Ephesus is right there. It's a tremendous book. It's really about how to go to the next level in the Christian life. Y'all remember that? How to take that step and cross over Jordan and live the selfless life, live that self-sacrificing life that God intended for us to live, how to live the abundant life. That's found in the book of Ephesians. But we see here even Jesus is saying, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. So even a great church that Paul had very little negative to say. In fact, it'd be hard pressed to find any negative things in the book of Ephesians, just like in the book of Philippians. But even a good church can lose its first love. And don't we see that in America today? I know you said we could bring that up all the time, preacher. Well, it's true. We see a lot of churches getting away from their first love. Well, let us never get away from our first love. Let us never step away from our first love. Never, let us love the Lord more today than we loved Him yesterday. Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. All the rest is folly. It's just about Jesus. Thou hast somewhat against Thee because Thou hast left Thy first love. It is possible that we can forget and leave our first love. We must be careful. By the way, He says to them, repent. And we need to be careful in our own lives as well as the church. Everybody still with me? All right, next point. First fruits belong to God. There are many things we could turn to here in Proverbs, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Let me read one from Leviticus. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the first fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The first fruits is the Lord. Deuteronomy 18:4 says, the first fruits also of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. So, you know, I just thought we'd put tithing in here as well. The first of what we earn, the first of our income should go to the Lord. It should. It's just it belongs to Him. We're simply stewards of what God has given us, and we should pray and ask for God's wisdom and being a good steward of what God has given us. Listen, everybody, be careful about when the preacher preaches on giving, you should tune in more. So say, here's what the preacher's going to say. But first fruits, give Him the first of it. 10% right off the top before the government gets their hand in it. First fruits belong to the Lord. And then the Bible speaks of the tithes and the offering from Malachi and so forth. So the tithe belongs to Him. And then there's missions giving and building fund giving and giving to the teens and all these other things and on and on and on that you ought to be involved in. You say, well, preacher, I'm on this income or this income. I said, you know what? It may be that for you, giving an extra dollar above your tithe is a big deal. And that whatever And that's what God lays upon your heart. Do it. It's not about how much you give. It's how much you give according to what you make. God doesn't look at the ones who can give a whole lot and say, well, they're a lot better than the ones who can give only a little. That makes no sense at all. In fact, he said of the lady who gave the two mites, she's given more than all of them. And so, remember, it's not about how much you give, but it's not about equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And so it's in getting involved in tithing. If you will, and the Bible principle is, if you'll tithe, if you'll give the first fruits, God will bless you. And then when you give above that, God will bless you. Now, not TV evangelists that God, you give 100, God gives you 1,000. That's nowhere found in the Scripture. The health, wealth, prosperity preaching of Kenneth Copeland and a bunch of these other shysters, that's not found in the Bible anywhere. It's not. You give, and God will provide for you. You obey the Lord, and God will bless you. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. Individuals have come to me and said, preacher, you know, do I get my tithe or pay my water bill? You tithe. It's not even a question. It's never been a question for me. I was raised in church, of course, but it's never been a question of whether or not, well, I can't do this or that. Give your tithe. And, you know, the Bible says that if you don't tithe, it's like putting money in a bag with a hole in it. My dad always said, the biblical principle is there, that you can do a lot more with the 90% than you can the 100%. And I know this sounds legalistic, whatever the case you want to say, but I still believe it, that if you don't give it, God will get it some other way. I just believe that. Give and God will bless you. God will bless you, I promise you. He will provide for you. You do right, and God will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter your income, whether it's a lot or little, that's not what's important to God. The first fruits, bring Him the first fruits. And I'm telling you, when you step out by faith and give to missions, it just does a whole another thing to your heart. It really does. It really does. The first commandment with promise. How many, I like this one, don't you? Ephesians 6:2. We got children here tonight. All the children, listen up. Ephesians 6:2. If your kids got a Bible, turn to it. Ready? Ephesians 6:2. Some of you got your Bibles? I see you. Jaden's got hers, I think. Brody's got hers. Just kidding. Brody's got his. Ephesians 6:2. I'll embarrass some of these kids. John, you got yours? All right. All right, Caleb. Micah's got his. Ephesians 6:2. I want all the kids there, even some of the older kids. Might be good for y'all too. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. Listen, we preach this and have been teaching this a long time. And it's the truth, kids. You obey your parents, and God will bless you. There's a circle of blessing, parents, that we should keep our kids inside this circle to honor and obey their parents. And they will live long and receive blessings. So if you can think about the circle, honor and obey. Everybody see that? Honor and obey. Then they receive a long life and blessing. But they had to stay within the circle. Kids, you listen? If you get out of the circle, the promise no longer applies to you. Right? So if you are disrespectful to your parents and you talk back to your parents and you don't obey your parents, you step out of the blessings of God. Kids, you understand? Everybody with me? I want some kids to say amen. Say it. That was pretty good. That was weak. You don't believe it? Got to stay within the circle of blessing. All right, let me address the parents. Parents, it's your job to keep them inside the circle. Amen. And that's where the Board of Education, the Seat of Understanding takes place. And other disciplinary and sometimes well-intentioned treats. Is that the way to put it? Almost sound like a dog, doesn't it? I'm sorry, that sounded bad. But parents, it's your job, my responsibility to keep my kids within that circle. When I allow them outside the circle, then I'll allow my kids to get out of the circle of blessing. Parents, it's important. Grandparents, to be involved as well, to keep those children within that circle. And when they're disrespectful and they disobey and they step out of that circle, they're out of the blessings of God. And so as a parent, not only should the child obey and get back in the circle, but the parents should make them get back in the circle. Amen. The kids really do want boundaries. I know they don't. You don't may not think that, but they do. They function so much better inside of a boundary. And if you'll create the circle for them and create that boundaries for them, they'll function so much better. And they'll respect you and love you for it later down the road. Amen. And so that's when you do many times apply loving discipline. And let me just, it's been a while. Loving discipline happens this way. Loving discipline is when a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15-year-old gets out of line, is disrespectful, talks back to mama, whatever's going on, talks back to daddy, is to firmly and lovingly apply a Board of Education, the seat of understanding. That's to take them into a room alone, very kindly, without being mad. If you ever spank your kid and you're mad, then you've done nothing but bully them. I'm talking about bullying all over America today, but you've done nothing but you haven't addressed the problem. You now have become the problem. You go to that room. If you need to, cool off before you go to the room. Get them by themselves in the bedroom and explain to them what they did. Have them explain to you what they did. You're training them. It is punishment per se, but it's a training. It's a training. In order to be a training tool, they have to know why. Now, for a little 2 and 3-year-old, that's not the case. They'll get the picture when you touch something hot and they come back. Well, that happens too with a little kid. We never childproofed our home. We childproofed the child. We never took anything off the coffee tables. Didn't happen in our home. The child learned not to touch it. They learned pretty quickly. It hurt when they touched it. Maybe I shouldn't pick that glass up off the coffee table. Okay. Everybody good? Amen. All right. So take them before you punish them, before you train them, apply that Board of Education. You have them repeat to you what they did wrong. You lovingly apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. And then after that's over, you have them explain it to you again, what they did wrong. You hug, you kiss. You love each other, maybe pray together, and you leave. With my children, sometimes after the Board of Education has been applied, we sometimes have rolled in the floor and wrestled immediately after the punishment. There should be no residual effect on your part emotionally after that. When that punishment's over, it's over. I'm telling you, it's over and it's on. You know, it's on. The rest of the thing's on. But let me clarify. The Bible talks about, you know, we should not spare the rod. And so it's a biblical principle out of Proverbs that we use corporal punishment. But corporal punishment doesn't work unless it's done in love. And when it's done in love and also done in a manner in such that is not abusive, it should be applied to the appropriate spot, never any other place. It is abuse to smack your kid across the face. It is abuse to smack your kid across the back or you apply it to the proper place. God kind of gave a cushion back there that works really good. The appropriate amount of punishment. Be very careful and so forth. But at the same time, making sure it's firm enough to be. You have to determine that. Every kid's different. Some kids you can give two. Sometimes it takes a little more when they're a little stubborn. My other point before we dismiss love is spelled what? T-I-M-E. If you're not spending time with your child, spanking will not work. So if daddy's gone all the time, and mama's gone all the time, and there's no time playing out in the yard, and there's no time, you know, fishing, and there's no time, you know, whatever else you do with your child, sports, those are important things as well, and spending quality time with your child, with the girls, whatever that is, fixing, painting nails. Is that it? Brother Adam, can you help me out? Whatever that is, sports, gymnastics, then the other doesn't work as well. So it takes all of it. But it's parents, your responsibility to keep them inside the circle. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Right, kids? Right? Good. I see some of you nodding. I don't have time to belabor the last two points, but let me give them to you. One is found in 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Basically, what Peter says here is that you are going to be persecuted as a Christian, and understand that. And then he says, listen, he said, we as children of God, we as a church, we as children of the heavenly King should discipline our own. Judgment begins at the house of God. And basically what he says is, if we don't take care of it, God will. And when there's open sin in the church, and according to 1 Corinthians, and we don't take care of it, then judgment will begin at the house of God. God will judge. Everyone with me? Boy, we need to be careful. We're careful at our church to try as members. My prayer is that we don't have members who are openly living in sin. You say, well, what would that mean? That means, two people living together who are not married, gossiping and backbiting and anger at each other and all these things. The open sin shouldn't take place in the church. Right? Amen. And again, I don't have time to go over the whole point. But let's be very careful as a church. God will intervene. God says it many times. And then lastly, Mark 9:35, the first shall be last, and what? The last shall be first. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And let's always remember the point that we ought to be servants. That we ought to be servants. We ought to be servants. We ought to be servants. We ought to follow in His steps. Let's all stand. Each one of these could be a message in and of itself, but let's remember the first in the Bible. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment, that we should seek Him first. Seek the first the kingdom of God, and so forth. And remember that the first day of the week is set aside for worshiping the Lord and keeping Him first, whether it's with our money and our talents, our time, keeping Him first in every area of our life. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love. We thank You that You have laid out for us some things we should do. But Lord, more importantly, we pray that we would follow in Your dear Son's steps. Help us to be the Christians we ought to be. We ask this in Your name. Amen.